Shalom, everyone. Come on now, come on. Come on, Lord, come on. There we go. You may be seated. You know, I know it's hard to rejoice when all of this trouble is going on, but that's what we're commanded to do. And I know I played a film the last time we was up here and showed you how horrible things is getting in the world. And then I said, come on, you can beat that. You can rejoice. Well, that's what Yahweh tells you to do. And that's what I'm telling you to do is praise Yahweh. But what you've got to do is trust in Yahweh's plan. And Yahweh has a perfect plan. That plan, may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. That plan, of course, is to stop what we're seeing right now in the world. And is that not worth rejoicing about? It's worse than just the earthquakes. But if you'll listen closely to today's sermon, you'll be greatly encouraged. Your faith will be greatly strengthened. You'll see how little time we have left. Some of the worst things that's taken place is the prophecy concerning sickness and disease, the disease epidemics. We have, this was just handed me, only 19% of people with HIV in the United States have an undetectable viral load. As a result, a test and treat strategy alone will not control this epidemic. The idea of test and treat is to test people with HIV and then treat them immediately with this medicine to keep them from spreading it. It doesn't keep them from spreading it. It just cuts down on the spread of it. If they have the virus. By doing so, advocates believe widespread transmission could be stopped or slowed down because having an undetectable viral load significantly reduces HIV risk. So it doesn't stop it, but they're claiming that it might reduce it some. Test and treat. Now, this is the second article. Test and treat. Not enough to control HIV epidemic in the USA. In the United States, people with AIDS are spreading this like crazy right now. There are approximately 1.1 million that we know of. This is HIV infected cases, individuals in the U.S. In the U.S. alone, HIV incidence in the country is steady at around 56,000 new infections each year. That's the ones they know about. If you add to that these earthquakes and bombs that are falling and getting worse, then you see what we're up against. Now, in the presence of our enemies, and then our enemies, brethren, are the whole world right now, including the environment. The firmament is so defiled right now. Breathing the air is necessary, but at the same time, we're taking in things into our body that our body is fighting to get rid of to keep it from killing you right now from the air you're breathing. But we've got to rejoice, and we've got to keep thinking that Yahweh is going to stop this mess that we see all over the world right now. He shows that this is the last generation. This will be the worst part of it. This generation will be the worst, as he shows in Matthew 24, and you might be turning there, but I want you to write down some facts here. Orville and Wilbur write, on December the 17th, now we're looking at a world right now that's got jet planes that can be around the world in one day. We've got jet missiles that can carry bombs from here to Russia in a few minutes, right now. But the Wright brothers took the first flight, the very first flight, if you can get that in your head, December the 17th, 1903. Now from that, if you can imagine, just this few years that we're seeing right now before us, and us being the last generation, we've got nuclear bombs that can destroy countries. Just the test of those nuclear bombs is causing great earthquakes. And it's causing those great earthquakes to increase. Now, how do I know this? Because the scripture, the prophecy in your Bible that you're refusing to believe, some of you are so much of a fool inside your heart that you just can't believe what this great creator, Yahweh, has put in front of you here at his house. And telling you, you can be a part of my kingdom forever. I called you here for that reason. Well, December the 17th, 1903, they flew all of 120 feet. 120 feet. That's not even the length of this sanctuary. December the 17th, 1903. The prophecy said that knowledge would be increased and people would be driving to and fro, jostling together with lights on their cars. Yes, that's the prophecies that we look at. Think of what a magnificent mind that we're dealing with here to look down in advance to our generation. Think of it. And then the fact that he says, I'm going to establish a house, then he calls you to it. And then he says, rejoice, rejoice at my feast, and I'll count it to you as righteousness. Well, in order to rejoice with all this crapola that's going on in the world right now, you've got to look forward to Yahweh's plan and you being part of the completion of that plan. Yes, when the seventh Moloch speaks, and we're in it right now, we're in that time period. When the bombs were established, Harry Truman, he is a president in my time period, he dropped A-bombs, one on the 6th of August, the other on the 9th of August. He dropped two bombs. This was in 1945. In 1945, Harry Truman, now the plane wasn't even invented. They flew 120 feet in 1903, and in 1945, they dropped two bombs destroying Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Just one bomb on each city. And they're still feeling the effects of that in 1945. I was born in 1934. Now, if you think about a miracle taking place and Yahweh saying, I'm going to raise up an Oki, I'm going to provide a place for him, I'm going to train him, and he's going to start bringing my message and establish my house so you can be a part of it. Think of what a magnificent offer this is. Can you imagine the schools of higher learning being able to offer something like that? The schools of higher learning is what dropped the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. They haven't got sense enough to use anything religiously or helpfully. They want to turn everything to war. Why? And you want to be a part of that? Think of what you're doing when you go back out into the world. Leaving Yahweh's house that he's established here right now and going back out to play around in a damnable world because of some fast music, moving music, and a gay time. You got to have crap for brains. Praise Yahweh. Well, in 1945 now, I was born in 1934. That's 11 years after my birth. 11 years. I was 11 years old. Now, all of this is what makes this fantastic is it's all prophesied. Every bit of this was prophesied for this generation. Now, you're such a fool that you can't believe this is the generation after seeing that? It'd take pretty much of an idiot not to believe it. Well, of course, 11 years after I was born, this was dropped. I was old enough to think and understand what had taken place here. In fact, I saw friends come back with missing limbs and legs and arms and things like this. And I thought, man, this is horrible. You know how horrible it was. But this set the stage for the last generation. That right there was setting the stage for the generation that we live in. If you look over to Daniel, the 12th chapter, Daniel 12, and notice verse 4, he says, "But you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many will run to and fro, and knowledge will be increased." Yes, knowledge enough to build a plane and fly and drop bombs all over the world, bring earthquakes all over the world. The Model T Ford that he is talking about running to and fro in, I remember those. They were invented in 1908, the first one. The first Model T Ford was invented in 1908. That was 26 years before I was born. All of this is taking place in this last 100 years. And in this generation that Yahweh says, turn back over to Matithiah 24 now. Matthew 24, because this is a prophecy that your Savior is giving to you, who is now high priest over the house of Yahweh, the last day's house of Yahweh. The Savior, Yahshua Messiah, is your high priest. He's watching you closely because he wants you to be a part of this family. That's the opportunity you have right now. Am I going too fast for you? Okay, I want to make sure you understand it this time. In Matthew 24, the Savior was asked about this generation. And he goes through all of these things that's going to take place. And in verse 29, he shows you the nuclear bomb. Verse 29, he shows you the nuclear bomb that scientists have made tests for you in this time period. They know it can darken the sun. If you notice verse 7, you'll also see the Savior saying earthquakes is going to increase. Earthquakes. You see that word, earthquakes. The reason I'm pointing this out to you is they're being caused. There's a cause for this to be taking place. And Yahweh says they're going to get mighty and they're going to get numerous. And the Savior said they're going to be earthquakes in various places. There's going to be disease epidemics. Yes, we have them all over the world. They're trying to hide them, trying to keep it covered up. But people are dying. Some close around us are dying from what they did and their ancestors did in this generation. But you're going to see these earthquakes in place after place. And then, if you go on over to verse 32, he tells you to look for something here. He gives you a parable. He says, now, verse 32, Matthew 24, he says, "Now learn a parable from the fig tree. When its branches become tender and put out leaves, you know that summer is near." We know that. They're putting out leaves right now and little figs right now. And we know that summer is upon us right now. In the same way, he says, when you see these things, earthquakes, the bombs. He's talking about now a generation. Know that his coming is near. That's one thing. At the very door, his coming, Yeshua's coming. He shows that in verse 30 and 31. Know that his coming is very near, at the very door, he says. Truly I say to you, it's at the very door, his coming. Do you have some time to go waste? I don't think so. And I think the very thought of it is showing that you're not rejoicing in Yahweh. You're rejoicing in stupidity. And the more you listen to this kind of crap and let it fill your mind, the more you'll crave it. It's like the uncontrolled lust. Let it go and your mind will get worse. Day after day, you'll destroy it. You'll destroy what Yahshua has already put here in your mind just by thinking this kind of crap. Well, here he shows in verse 32, he says he shows you the branches. Then 33, he says, when you see these things, know that my coming is here. It's near, even at the door. Where's he going to find you when he gets here? Where will he find you? Off getting a drink of booze somewhere when you should have been here studying? Or at your home studying, taking every minute you can to cram for this final exam? That's what you should be doing. You should be finding joy. Joy in Yahweh. And notice verse 34 closely. He says, truly I say to you, that generation will not pass away. The generation, I said, this marks it. Let me read it to you again. The airplane was only invented in 1903. You know, man had been on the earth for 6,000 years at that time. But the plane that started this generation, they had planes, they had to invent planes to carry bombs to darken the sun with those bombs. The invention of that was not brought about in David's time. He had no airplanes to fly. Think of what's going on here. So Yahweh allows the knowledge to be increased just a little to prove to you what this world will do with it. What if you had the power right now that Yahweh has, and you had the brain capacity to go out here and play around in the stupid world after Yahweh calling you out of it? Someone told me yesterday that they saw a dog catch a squirrel. Then they said they saw the dog eat about half of it. Then he vomited up the squirrel. Not trying to make you sick. I'm just showing you what you look like in Yahweh's eyes when you go out and play around in the world. He vomited up this half a squirrel. Then he turned around and he ate it again. That's exactly what the Apostle Kepha said. You look like to Yahshua, who's about to come here to get you. And he will find you at an unexpected moment. He says he will. Truly I say to you, that generation will not pass until all these things are fulfilled. Well, it was invented in 1903. That was the plane. Harry Truman dropped the first bomb in 1945, 11 years after I was born. I was born with under prophecy, a miraculous birth. My brother, a one-year-old brother, named me as Yahweh prophesied he would. I would be named from the bowels of my mother. I would be named. How many people fit that today when they're telling you they're the witness? Or maybe they're telling you they're the two witnesses. They're about that stupid to think they're both of them. You got to fulfill the prophecies. You got to, and Yahweh is guiding this. It's not like it just happened. Yahweh is guiding this. He guided this work. He saw to it that a house was established, just as he said it would be in Isaiah 2. that he established his house, and then he started calling people to it, and he actually offers them salvation, and he says, before that time, before the foundations of the house of Yahweh was laid in these last days, there was no salvation. Where was all the witnesses? They didn't even hear the word till I said there was witnesses. They didn't hear the word house of Yahweh either, and now all of them are wanting it. After we made it famous all over the world, after Yahweh made it famous, then they started wanting it, and then they started trying to steal it, using the courts of the land to try to steal from the house of Yahweh. Well, Yahweh, the Savior says, that generation will not pass away until all of these things are fulfilled. All of them. Fulfilled. That whole chapter there is talking about these things that will take place in this generation. But notice the word earthquakes again in verse 7, and then let's go over to chapter 6 of Revelation. And please don't forget this. I'm trying to impress it on your mind. Remember the word earthquakes now that the Savior spoke of. The Savior's actually speaking to you here in Revelation 6, but he's sitting at a different position right now and watching our every moves and helping us to overcome and so forth. But here in Revelation 6 and verse 12, we see here, he says, and I looked, and when he had opened, this is Yahshua opening the seals, and the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, a great earthquake. This word here, it means great, but it means spectacular. Now, we haven't seen that one yet, but we're going to. It won't be long until we do. It'll be in this generation. Quantity or degree, loud, intense, violent and long, he says, of position, very great, exceedingly great. Now, that's what that word means when he says great earthquake. It's going to be a boogaroo. The ones that we have seen already that made you sick at your stomach week before, the Sabbath before last, and I told you, come on and rejoice. Come on, let's rejoice. And had to stir you up to get you to, because most of you were wanting to cry at that time. I did too when I saw it. And I still feel sorry for those people. They're still suffering. It's not over. It's as you saw in the news, we just recorded that yesterday evening for you so you could, to refresh your minds. I admire greatly those people. The humility that I see in those people, it just amazes me what I see there and how they're serving each other, very polite and honorable to each other. Did you know that they don't have juvenile delinquency? You remember me, any of y'all here that remembers me bringing the sermons on Praise Yahweh? They don't have juvenile delinquency in Japan and China. You know why? Because everybody corrects everybody else's children. If you praise all of them. And when you correct a child there or a grown up, they don't snarl up their nose and get mad and dish out some harsh words. They thank you very much. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. It is so amazing. But I brought this out when I was on the police department. I gave many speeches when I was on the police department, especially in the academy. And I said, they don't have juvenile delinquency there. If we could get that in America. But here, people do not want you to correct them or their children. Now, of course, this is something that Satan has put in the mind of every person. They don't want to be corrected, but this is something you need to fight to get rid of. Humble yourself as those people in Japan, and it'll be an easy thing to start getting rid of it. The reason they don't want you to correct their children is because there's no one capable in the United States of correcting the children. Not the teachers, not the bus drivers, no one. not the parents, and not the police, and not the municipal systems. There is no one in America that I know of except the House of Yahweh that is capable of correcting children. The juvenile delinquency, it's unheard of there. It's unheard of in Japan. They had some uprisings, but as China said, it came from outside. From outside. And if you've read the articles on what's taking place now in the world and the uprisings, it looks like Syria is going to be the next on the hit list. These things must take place. But if you remember the articles that I brought from Malachi Martin telling you what Queen Mary, the Queen of Heaven, is going to do, he told you this before it started in the book, The Keys of This Blood. How did they know this without having firsthand knowledge of it coming from the Queen of Heaven herself? You know when she was cast to earth. You know when all of this started because Yahweh showed you his house. You're a fool if you don't believe it. You're a fool if you don't believe what I've just brought you here today. In Revelation 6:1, if you look, the Lamb opens the seal here. The Lamb. This is our high priest, Yahshua. He's opening it to you, not to the world. In fact, he says none of the wicked are going to understand. And if you've turned to wickedness, you may not understand this as plain as it is right now. I would beg you to repent and come and humbly ask for help. But notice the Lamb opens one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, one of the four, the quartet. If you'd put quartet there in that place, because that's exactly who it's speaking of. The quartet is fixing to bring forth Queen Mary in verse 2. I brought this out in detail before. It's all in our sermons. So I'd beg you to get those sermons and re-listen to them. But the quartet is the one that's bringing forth this religion that conquers with war. That's the history of this religion. The Holy Roman Empire. It was invented for that reason, to take over the world. It was prophesied before it did. Four great beasts. Four great world-ruling kingdoms. People think, well, they're all gone. No. They just, each one became stronger than the other one. But the existing one is still there. And of course, those four still remain. And those four are ruling the earth today. I'll bring this out in detail, Yahweh willing, this feast. But notice that the religion they bring forth here, I looked and behold this white horse, which represents righteousness, but as you can see, it's not righteous. It's a fake righteousness. A fake righteousness that you see here. But being close, looking like righteousness. As Yahshua said, they put on appearances of righteousness, speaking of the Catholic Church that was then called Pharisee, now called Universal. Well, in verse 2, he says, I looked and I saw this white horse, and he who sat on it had army materials. Planes that was started in 1903. What did I say? You got it down? And he had authority. That word crowns there, it actually means authority. Authority. Well, who has given him this authority? Revelation 12 shows who it is that's given him this authority. But he's the leader. He was given authority to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. Now, the rest of this chapter deals with this, showing you step by step what is going to take place here. Conquering and to conquer. And in verse 4, he says, and there went another horse out that was red, and power was granted unto him that sat upon him to take peace from the earth. Conquering and to conquer, what do you see taking place in the earth right now? but uprisings here and there. Would you ever have dreamed that it would be brought about in this manner? China was talking about this week, and they said that these uprisings were being done now with computer, and they were actually being sent out. Two different people said from Italy, two different ones. One of them was Putin, the other one was Gaddafi, but they said they're coming straight from Italy. But they're organizing these by computer and sending their messages out to create this in the countries I suppose they want to take over, from what I see in prophecy right here. Oil-rich countries, because it says don't hurt the oil and the wine, just a little further down. But you're going to see next. But notice, take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. That's what's taking place, but this will get worse also in that fourth part of the earth, and then it will move here to your land here in America. That's what Scripture showed. Take peace from the earth, kill one another, and there was given him a great sword. Yes, bombs, technical nuclear bombs. We saw one hit a building that belonged to Gaddafi. Another one goes straight in the same hole, goes down deeper. You know, this is how technical these bombs are right now. They have a great sword here to fight with. Not like the one that I can't think of his name now. I'm glad I can't even think of his name. Titus, that destroyed Jerusalem and took the artifacts to Rome. Yes, he did have a sword. Well, this one is a great sword. Great, like the word great earthquake. It's a great sword that can really do some damage, so much that it can darken the sun. Peace granted to take peace from the earth. Go back to the beginning, verse 4. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was granted to him who sat upon it to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another with the sword. And there was given unto him this great sword, or great fighting material to deal with. Now, verse 5, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third creature, that's one of the quartet, say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat upon it had a pair of scales in his hand. And then he said in verse 6, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four, that's the quartet, living creature, saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see that you hurt not the oil and the wine. Now the very next verse is what we're going into next, brought about by this, or granted by this same power that is giving the quartet and the religion, their authority. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the four living creatures saying, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. Now here is where there's going to be much death, because it's brought about by war, by famine, and by disease epidemics, and it's going to get it exceedingly worse. I looked, and behold, this pale horse, and the name of him that sat upon him was death. Not just a few, not just 10,000 or so, but a third of the people over that fourth part of the earth followed with him, and power was given to him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with war, with hunger, starvation, and with these disease epidemics. The same, notice, is under the authority of the beast of the earth. This is the four beast that you will be amazed when we see Yeshua tied to these horns. Verse 9, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar those who were slain for their witness, verse 10, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long? And then verse 11, a little while, white robes were given unto them, because much, much more slaughter is going to take place. And then verse 12, the great earthquake, and notice the sun is darkened. the great earthquake and the sun is darkened. Hold your place there and look back to Matthew 24. Remember the earthquake, because this is the same one that Yahshua is speaking of here. The earthquakes, and immediately, but after the tribulation, which is going to be fulfilled very shortly now in this generation, all of these things are going to take place. Immediately, but after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened. That's exactly what we see here in Revelation 6:12. This great earthquake taking place, the great one, the really great one, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Stars of heaven fell. In verse 13, you see the same thing as showing here in verse 29. The stars fell from heaven, and the powers of the heavens were shaken, and then will appear Yahshua. Where will you be? Where will you be? I would hate to think of being any place except the house of Yahweh. Now let's go over to Amos 3. We see all the hell taking place in the world today, and the question is asked, will Yahweh also have a work or not have a work? Well, of course, the answer is that he will have a work. This is page 696. Please turn and read it, please. Read verse 1 first. Page 696, Amos 3. He says, "Hear the word which Yahweh has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up out of the land of Egypt." Well, of course, if you know, hold your place there, and let's turn back to Genesis. Genesis now. Genesis 49, and notice verse 1, the last days. Genesis 49, found on page 43. Hold your place in Amos now. Don't lose it. Okay, verse 1 says, "Then Jacob called for his sons and said, 'Gather together so I may tell you what will befall you in the last days.'" What will befall you? Notice the 12 tribes he brought out of Egypt, somewhere around 3 million people there that he brought out of Egypt that took over the whole world, all nations. That's what I've been bringing you. Got that? Now hold your place. Hold your place in Genesis now. Turn back over here to Amos 3 again, and notice verse 6. "Will a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Will iniquity be taking place in the city, or in these cities? And Yahweh not also have a work there?" Well, of course he does. You know, here's Malcolm X. Here's Malcolm Z and P and Paul and so forth. He's got the Baptists, the Methodists, the Church of Christ. He's got all of these things. "And Yahweh not have a work there," verse 6. "Most assuredly, Yahweh will have no work other than the work that is prophesied in advance by the prophets." Prophesied in advance by the prophets. Now, if you look back to Genesis 49 again, Genesis 49, hold your place in Amos now. Verse 1 says, "In the last days, I'll show you what's going to take place among the tribes who now are universal. They have the world, the whole world. You're part of it." I would I could take time and read you the article of they are giving $156 million to the Indians, American Indians. You know, I told you what took place. They would kill people, families. They'd put their children in orphanages. Well, now this comes out after I said that, by the way. Then this article comes out showing this very thing. These are children, American Indians, as they called them. They're actually Hebrew people that came here from Galilee. Yes, but they were raped. They were put in orphanages and they were raped. This is a sign of their religion that followed them from Jeremiah 15, where it says, "You're a Sodom and Gomorrah, and your profaneness has gone out to all the world." It had to include America. But I got the article right there. Maybe I'll read it to you later. It makes me want to vomit like the squirrel and the dog. But will Yahweh not have a work there? Remember, that's what he said. Will Yahweh not have a work? Well, yes, I'll have one, but it's the one prophesied. That's the only one that I will have, he says. Well, here, if you look down to verse 10, in the last days, you see the donkeys, you see Yahshua, who takes the righteous scepter, and Yahweh says, tie the donkey's colts. The donkeys were his disciples, but there was two donkeys, if you remember, one for the last days, and he says, the donkey's colts now you tie to the branch, the chosen branch. Our time is up, or I'd go into it in detail, but I want you to go back to Amoshah quickly again, Amoshah 3, and look at verse 8. The lion has roared. Who will not fear? Father Yahweh has spoken, but who can prophesy? Who will even believe, as the prophecies say? Yahweh has spoken. Will he have a work? Publish in the palaces of Ashdod and in the palaces of the land of Egypt. By the way, we have people in Egypt and people in Japan that are saying, please come here and build a house. Start the house of Yahweh. People all over, in fact. And say, assemble yourselves on the mountains of Samaria and behold the great turmoil. Remember Samaria? Well, Yahweh says we're reaching it now. In fact, I put this in sheet right here where I could read it to you. About 14 million people. I told you the last time was reaching all but 10 countries. Now it's down to 7. We're reaching this work. I only have 7 countries that we're not reaching, but we're working on those too. And I want to tell everyone that's hearing me, you can be a part of this work if you want to. You can be a part of this last day's work of the two witnesses with your tithe and offerings. And they're certainly welcomed. This one work alone is costing us $405 a day. $405 a day. That's just this one work now. That's not all of them. Some of them we cry every month because we worked out a contract where it's supposed to be $20,000. And then we get the bill. We agreed to pay in euro. And we get the bill and it's like $28,000 instead of $20,000. So it's kind of a challenge sometimes, but Yahweh's making a way, and you can be a part of this. You can be a part of it. Don't forget it. We can use $1 million or $2 billion, or we can use widow's mites or whatever. Nothing's too small and nothing's too large for these last days. Well, see, he says, behold the great turmoil now. We just saw about this in the prophecy that Yahshua is talking about, and also when Yahshua is talking in Revelation 6, the great turmoil and what it's going to lead to. It's going to lead to 4/5 of the earth's population wiping themselves out and a slaughter taking place of all holiness, all forms of holiness on the face of the earth. The great turmoil, great. Get that word and remember it. The great turmoil, and it's going to get worse, within her and the oppressions in her midst. They do not know to do righteousness. Remember Samaria. Well, we'll go into that next, and then in the next lesson, hopefully this coming Sabbath. I'm sorry I missed last Sabbath. That took a bite out of my teaching, but we'll Yahweh willing, no more missing. We got 3 weeks left to the feast. Only 3 weeks now. You need to start planning to have a joyous time in Yahweh, planning on a job in the house. That's one way of having a joyous time serving others. Don't go out on your own seeking a job. Come to the supervisors. That's what they're there for. And start learning to be a supervisor by working with a supervisor, as the 12 disciples worked with Yahshua, and then he sent them out to work. We're needing teachers, brethren, too, and we're going to need them really great, I think, shortly after the feast. We do want to honor the request of going out and to the different countries. We see that in prophecy. And we have a training period going on. It's going to be intense during the feast, too. And hopefully everyone will be attending that, but plan on it. Make plans now where nothing will be bothering you during that time, where you can actually devote all your time to finding joy in Yahweh and His work. Not some place else, but Yahweh. Now, Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you.